Present to the congregation something different than what's in the book. If we read the Bible, we can understand more and more what it means to be a child of God. And I'm glad that I bring you scriptures from the Word of God so that we can continually read and understand what this mystery is. Verse 26 says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Word of God says in verse number 27, how important this scripture is, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now let's analyze what's being said here. Paul had to send letters by special messenger while he was in prison in Rome. He sent them to the Colossian brethren. And Paul sent Tychicus, an Asian Christian, to deliver three letters. He delivered one to Ephesus, he delivered one to Colossae, and the third letter, Tychicus, had to give and help those in Philemon. Tychicus was also sent by Paul to escort a runaway slave back to his master in Colossae. Or in Colossians, we understand that Tychicus was a very faithful member and one who accompanied Paul from time to time on his missionary journeys. Paul was fighting the belief of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was simply the belief that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Rather, that Jesus Christ was made up like man. Man is made up with matter. And anything that's made up with matter has evil within it. So if Jesus came in the flesh, Jesus would have matter and Jesus would be evil. And we know that Jesus is not evil. But when we look at the Bible in Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, we understand he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. In other words, Jesus is going to be number one, whether we make him number one or not. Jesus is number one, and he ought to be number one in our lives. I'm kind of dismayed this morning at how many people have a tendency to make worship optional? And what I'm talking about is that we are in a very, very difficult time. We are in COVID-19 times. In other words, there is a disease that's out there that's very infectious. And we know that Delta is with us, but now we have Omicron and we have other different phases of this or outbreaks of this particular COVID-19. And we're not real sure what's going on. However, worship seems to be optional. Praising Jesus seems to be optional now. If I have clothes I need, I'm going shopping and I'm going to try to find at Target. I'm going to try to find at Walmart. I'm going to try to find wherever I can those clothes that need to go on my back. And I'm going out and do that. If I need groceries, I'm going out to the grocery store. I've got to have groceries, Brother Crowder. I've got to have groceries. Well, if we're so afraid of COVID, why is it that we feel that what we have to do, which is go to work, et cetera, is a necessity, but coming to worship God is optional? I can stay at home and I can worship God this way. I can worship God that way. It's Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit that's allowing us to do anything and everything that we do every day. Why is it optional that I worship God? I'm going to come out and worship God because I can get COVID at any store that I will want to shop in. I can get COVID on any job that I'm working on. I can get COVID wherever I think I have to go. And somebody says, well, I don't have to go to church. No, you don't have to attend worship. God makes it optional that we can serve him or we can reject him. But I don't feel that worship is optional. I want to praise God. I want to worship Jesus first of all, and that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to criticize people who don't want to do it. I want to welcome our virtual audience this morning. If we have those who feel that I just can't get out, well, I can't get out anywhere if I can't get out to worship God who helps me from day to day, every day, and allows me to be yet within the land of the living, where all is as well with me as it is, recognizing things could be a whole lot worse. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. And having been made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ, his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. Paul goes on to say, and you that one time, at some time, were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you have been reconciled, brought back to God in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In other words, the Bible says he came in the body of his flesh. So who am I to deny that Jesus Christ really came and that Jesus Christ took on the form, God took on the form of man and suffered an humiliating death upon the tree of the cross so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Colossians chapter 1 verses 23 through 29 brings this out. Paul presents Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mystery or secret is revealed to the Gentiles, and this mystery is Jesus Christ. The Jews knew about Jesus, but the Gentiles didn't know about Jesus Christ. So Paul says the hope of all glory is the fulfillment of God's promise to restore us and all creation. Sin, Isaiah 53, separates us from God. So God says, I want to bring man back to me. That's why I worship. That's why if I die from COVID, I don't want to die. I enjoy our grandchildren. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy our children. I enjoy living. I enjoy coming to Fairview. I enjoy the fellowship that I have with the brethren. I enjoy preaching the gospel. I enjoy people. I enjoy life. I don't want to die, but I'm not going to make worship optional because Christ died to bring me back to God when sin separated me from God Almighty. I'm so glad that God cared, and he cared enough to send Jesus. He was born, and we celebrate that birth right now as a nation. We celebrate it as Christians all year long. But this mystery is Jesus Christ. And Paul was writing to believers in Jesus Christ. The mystery is explained to the Gentiles and every Christian today. Christ is the hope of future glory. Colossians 1 and verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul says, continue in the faith. Don't let anyone take Christ out of Christmas. Don't let anybody take Christ out of life. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, I had to have two jobs as I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many did not understand that preaching is a full-time commitment. Being a minister is a full-time commitment. And especially in the congregation where I was at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. Many times you would get a call to come to someone's house because of this or because of that. And you would be asked to come at around 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning. And my wife had to get up and go with me. I learned that very early on in my ministry because sometimes some of the ladies in the congregation would be calling me and I just knew it was better to have my wife with me. Amen. So as we got up that early to go and to attend to whatever the needs were, I found that I had to come back, maybe lie down for an hour, head out to school, and be there to check in a bus at 6:20 a.m. It was a full-time commitment to preach the gospel. Sometimes as I was teaching, I would have to leave during a planning period or leave during a time when I didn't have anything to do, go preach a funeral, and head back to school. And that went on and on and on and on. Preaching the word of God is a message that needs to be broadcast. It is necessary that we as preachers do it as boldly as we can. When we talk about hope, we talk about an earnest expectation or belief that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Anytime you talk about hope, it is that what is said is going to be done. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people to empower them for service. But when the service was provided, the Holy Spirit would lead them again. In the New Testament, we are told that we receive a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14 and the verses of 16 through 17. And we find the word of God explaining to us just how beautiful it is. In Colossians 1, 23 through 29 and also in John chapter 14 verses 16 through 17. The word of God says, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is one who dwells in heaven with God and Christ. And he helps us to be able to better understand the scripture. He helps us to be able to worship God and to keep his commandments more and more every day. I'm glad that I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Again, the word of God right here says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But I depart, and I will send him unto you." Jesus says, I got to go back to heaven. But to his apostles, to his disciples, I'm going to send you a Comforter. I'm going to send you Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that at baptism I received Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 38. The Bible makes it known how I received the Holy Spirit. Now when they heard this, when the Romans and the Jews heard that they had crucified Jesus, they were pricked in their hearts. Their attention became keen. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do in order to be saved?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I have received the Holy Ghost because I've been buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. And now I'm able to rise, Romans 6 and 4, and walk in the newness of life with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I can't do it by myself. Some of you might think, hey, you know, I've been in the church a long time, and I can do this and I can do that. Well, there comes a time in my life when things just don't work out like I want them to work out. And I just get disgusted. I get disappointed. Sometimes I just want to explode with all sometimes the most evil things that can be done. But Jesus Christ has given me the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comforts me. The Holy Spirit guides me. The Holy Spirit lifts me up. The Holy Spirit helps me to go from day to day and to remain rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit today helps Christians understand the Bible and the life that a child of God, a Christ follower, must do. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." It's sort of like when you put earnest money down and say, "I want to buy this house." And they say, "All right, well, how much are you going to put down to show that you really want to buy this house?" "Well, I'm going to put down $10,000. I'm going to put down $20,000. Well, if you don't really buy that house, you may lose that $10,000. You may lose that $20,000. Because what you have said is that I promise that I'm going to buy this house. And here's the earnest money. God says, I love you. I love you. And I want you to be saved. And if you obey my will, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as the seal that I am really going to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to save you." Boy, that's beautiful. Church ought to holler amen on that, because that's absolutely beautiful to understand that the Holy Spirit is the seal to let me know that God really is truly a covenant bearer. He is going to do what he says he's going to do. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. God works in us to perfect us. And we are Christ's followers, Christians in this world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God works in us to perfect us. We are now children of God. John chapter 17 and verse number 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus says, "I'm not of the world, My disciples are not of the world. We are living as children of God. Christ in us brings us the hope of glory, the hope of things to come. When we live as children of God, I have the earnest expectation that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. It's sort of like when our children were coming up. We would tell them, now, and we didn't want to be embarrassed out in public, okay? We just didn't want to be like that. We would tell our children, now look, we're going out to this restaurant, and if you all act right, we will buy you some ice cream at the end of our meal. Our children had the earnest expectation, the hope, that we were going to buy them some ice cream if they acted right. And a little over 80% of the time, they acted right. So they got that ice cream. And they enjoyed that ice cream. And as they grew older, they realized that what we promised them, if they did what we asked them to do, they were going to receive what we said they would receive. Our resurrection is included in the hope of glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive our dead bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, God says, if you act right and do what I tell you to do, I'll make you alive with the Holy Spirit, and heaven can be your home. That's my hope of glory, that heaven will be my home. We have a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. The Bible says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Wow. For you. Boy, that makes me feel real good. Sometimes I call home and my wife will say, how's your day been? And I say, oh, it's been a good day, good day. And then she'll say, well, I've got your favorite meal for you. You know, that makes me feel good because I know that I'm no longer in the doghouse. It makes me feel good because I know whatever I did, I've been forgiven. And now she's going to make my special meal that I can enjoy when I get home. I know that in Jesus Christ, recognizing him as the Son of God and living the life that he wants me to live, that there is an earnest expectation that he's going to give me with abundant mercy what he promises by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's going to give me a home in heaven and a crown of life that fades not away. I'm going to be able to open or to go through if he opens those pearly gates. I'm going to be able to walk down that street of gold. I'm going to be able to receive that crown of righteousness that fades not away. And somebody says, oh, Brother Crowder, all of that is figurative. I don't care if it's figurative. I just know that I'm going through something that's better than any door I can pass through on the face of this earth. And I know that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are going to be on the other side of that door. And I know that whatever I walk down, I'm going to be walking with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm so happy and so satisfied that I'm going to be with him throughout eternity. I'm so glad that there's never going to be any more death, Revelation chapter 21. I'm so glad that there's not going to be any more crying. I'm so glad that there's not going to be any more pain. Somebody ought to be shouting hallelujah now. Because we all got some pains, amen? When I woke up this morning, sometimes you wake up and that arm doesn't want to wake up and that leg doesn't want to wake up and that brain doesn't want to wake up. You got all that fog and you even wonder, where am I? Oh, I'm in bed. I'm at home. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit says it won't be any more of that. All of that is gone away. Christ in you is the hope, the earnest expectation of eternal life. To think obeying God's plan of salvation can give me eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. But with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Christ foreordained, Christ chosen before the beginning of the world to save mankind. That's God's plan of salvation. We are justified just as if we've never sinned when we accept Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The hope of glory, much more than being now justified, just as if we've never sinned by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, brought back to God by the death of his son, much more we are being brought back to him, reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58 lets me know that after death, I'm going to be glorified in a body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter into or inherit the kingdom of God. Neither death nor corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, I'm going to put on a glorified body. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What I'm doing is not worthless. What I'm doing is priceless. What I'm doing helps me to know that I am certainly going to receive a crown of righteousness that fades not away. I'm going to receive eternal life if I keep doing what I'm doing. Why do we work materialistically? Because we know that Friday we're going to get a paycheck. We're going to get some money that's going to pay NES. We're going to get some money that's going to pay our water bill. We're going to get some money that's going to pay our house note, or going to buy food and put it on our tables and clothes on our back. We keep working because we have the earnest expectation that we're going to be receiving a reward for what we're doing. Why do we keep working in the Lord? Because I know that there's an earnest expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to save us. I'm going to receive that crown of righteousness that fades not away. I'm going to be able to make heaven my home. If you hear the word, Romans 10:17, believe it. Hebrews 11:6.
Repent of your sins, Luke 13 and 3. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. Put him on in baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 37 and 38. Rise and walk in the newness of life, Romans 6 and 4. Heaven can be our home. We'll receive salvation by being a part of his church, a member of his church, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Why not come to Jesus this morning? Why not accept God's plan of salvation? Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the earnest expectation that God is going to save me if I come to him and obey him. Why not come right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation? Jesus is calling. Come to Jesus.
Jesus the Lord.